Welcome back to the Fontenelle Final Bell here on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're continuing our conversation this afternoon with Mike Zuzulo, Mike with Global Commodity Analytics. And Mike, I think we kind of left off on a kind of a negative note, but that's just kind of the feel of this trade as of late with these outside market influences and everything that's been going on. But there is some positives happening within the trade as well. And that includes the fact that we've got crop progress condition reports that will start coming out next week, and there's some optimism, as there always is, with this winter wheat crop.
Yeah, I mean, optimism in terms of the market that doesn't appreciate how bad the situation is west of the Mississippi River and in the hard red wheat country. And I would add to that the spring wheat country as well, Susan. And you had mentioned in the first segment about the acreage and stocks report at the end of the week. I think the acreage report means a lot more, and the stocks, for that matter, mean a lot more this month because of the weather that we're seeing. Both ends of the corn belt and the wheat belt, whether you're talking about the northern part and the spring wheat belt and the corn belt in Minnesota, Dakotas, still dealing with 1 to 3 feet of snow on their fields right now, and it's almost April 1. And then you look at the west side of the corn belt, Nebraska and Kansas, you're talking about 72 to 77% short to very short subsoil moisture, both of those states only having 1% surplus subsoil moisture at this point. And the models continue to promote a drier bias. And then you look at the southern part of the corn belt and the Delta states, you're wondering now if you're an analyst whether we're going to make the cotton acres that many of us thought we'd make because of the wet and the tornadic activity. The storms have just been one after another in a training effect. And so I think, as we said in the first part, there are supply and weather issues out there that I think, because we have tight supplies globally, can really cause the market to react positively in price. We just aren't developing that 2004 type demand low that we would want to develop here after a big rally that we saw last year.
So considering that for so many, the winter keeps lingering, the fact that Monday, we start these official reports coming out in the afternoon from the USDA NAS. It kind of puts a little extra feel to spring coming in. But I'm hearing a lot of talk of prevent plant already, and it's even too early for planters to be in the field.
Yes, I am too. And that's one of those issues where we could probably wait another 10 days before we really start to get nervous. But we only have about 10 days because we know that when the wheat breaks the dormancy and the corn planters don't roll and there's not a lot of green in those fields, a lot of decisions are going to have to be made. And so I think that's where when we saw in the crop conditions report yesterday for the states that a lot of people look at good to excellent conditions, that's fine. But I look more at the very poor, poor conditions, because that's what's going to take you away from the trend line yields. And Kansas came in at 52% very poor, poor. That was down 2 points from last week. We're literally 20 points worse than we were last year at this time, Susan. So we really do have twice as bad a crop as we did last year at this time in all practicality, especially in certain parts of the state of Kansas. And while Oklahoma saw a big jump in improvement and reduced numbers for very poor and poor, Nebraska saw a 3-point increase, and we've got 43% of the winter wheat in very poor conditions versus 26% a year ago. And so I still see wheat as the leader, and I still see the cattle market being very heavily influenced by the weather and whether we turn hot and dry or whether we stay cooler and we lose some of the gain potential in the late spring. Those are going to be big issues, I think.
Well, let's talk about that cattle market, because the live saw some positive trade. The feeders, on the other hand, took to the negative track on the day.
Yeah, they did. And I think this is where I took a step back and I said to myself, in both grains and livestock after Monday's rally in both, we just need to hold on to what we've gained now. And I think the market did a good job of holding the recent gains, especially in the cattle and in the feeders, and especially in light of the very light and kind of directionless trade in the cattle market. And we do have those March feeders getting ready to go off the board. They're running about even, maybe a plus a dollar versus the cash index. The next contract, though, the April is running at 197, and you know that's going to be $6+ above the cash index. And so there is a premium in the futures. And so with that kind of a premium, I think the trade's really looking for the cash market to develop and develop in a more sizable manner, more volume manner. And again, today we just didn't get that based upon the report so far. So I thought that, you know, the hogs, maybe they weren't as bright today as far as the trade price action, but by the same token, the April put in an inside day, didn't take out yesterday's lows. And so that didn't really hurt the charts anymore. And I think that's the most you can ask for with the hog complex right now.
Lots of things that we talked about today, Mike. What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Well, best place is to go to globalcomresearch.com. And, you know, on Rural Radio, it's the only one I'm offering is a 3-week trial, and that's a week extra than what I normally offer. So please go and sign up for a free trial and get an extra week. It's a very, you know, valuable time period to do that. It's globalcomresearch.com, and it's globalcom with two M's.
I'll tell you, folks, I enjoy reading the emails that come out, and especially when you talk a little bit more in depth about what you're seeing, whether it's crude, it's the wheat market, it's the European Union, lots of great things that are in that newsletter. Thanks, Mike, for joining us this week. Remind folks, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That's a Fontenelle Final Bell, brought to you by Fontenelle Hybrids and all the local dealers on the Rural Radio Network.